This edition of The Sessions at Midori House was first broadcast on the 12th of September 2015 on Monocle 24.
You can turn it up a little bit, just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling?
Okay, I'm recording whenever you're ready.
Let's do it, man.
You're listening to The Sessions at Midori House with me, Andrew Muller. If you've ever felt minded to wonder what it might have sounded like if Paul Simon had joined the Eagles, this week's guests, Doors, have saved you the bother. The Californian group began setting wry, wordy, reflective lyrics to widescreen Americana backdrops with 2009's North Hills. Three albums later, All Your Favorite Bands refines the formula to singularly glorious effect. Doors and their formidable backline came to Midori House to play three songs from that new album, and the brothers at the heart of the band, Taylor and Griffin Goldsmith, sat down to defend the epic guitar solo, among other matters.
This song is called All Your Favorite Bands.
One, two, three.
Late night drives and hot French fries and friends around the country, from Charlottesville to good old Santa Fe. When I think of you, you still got on that hat that says let's party. I hope that thing is never thrown away. I hope that life without a chaperone is what you thought it'd be. I hope your brother's El Camino runs forever. I hope the world sees the same person that you always were to me. And may all your favorite bands stay together. I'm just waking up and I'm not thinking clearly, so don't quote me with what I hope, and I'm writing you this song. Ain't it funny how some people pop into your head so easily when I haven't seen you in there for so long? I hope that life without a chaperone is what you thought it'd be. I hope your brother's El Camino runs forever. I hope the world sees the same person that you always were to me. And may all your favorite bands stay together.
Griffin and Taylor Goldsmith from Doors, welcome to The Sessions at Midori House.
Thanks for having us.
You finished The Sessions there with All Your Favourite Bands, the title track from the new album. I did wonder about that chorus from the first moment I heard it, when you were, I guess, sort of distilling the list of wishes for this other person. How many refinements did that go through?
It actually went through a lot. I had the last one, obviously. I had May All Your Favourite Bands Stay Together. I just wanted to figure out how to cook it up. It actually originally was a song about someone starting out in a career in music. And the first lyric was, I hope that life behind a microphone is what you thought it'd be. And then the song, once it really started taking shape, it wasn't really about that. So it became, I hope that life without a chaperone. And but yeah, there was quite a bit of finessing for that chorus for me.
Is there, extrapolating from that song to the album, do you think the songs are of a piece? Because it did strike me listening to it that there's a lot of the songs on it sound like, and it is something alluded to in that song, the sort of like vague ideas, people and recollections that pop into your head, often I find when you're traveling.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, we live on the go pretty much, and I had to learn how to write from the road. I used to compartmentalize, and when I was on tour, we would just play shows, and we were home, I would write. But now that's not really an option just because we're home so little. Thinking back on the people that we have shared memories with or experiences with, that, like you said, it comes when you are on the road, when you're away from it, when you have a moment to reflect. And so I guess, I never really thought about that, but I guess traveling is a big influence in that sense.
This song's called Right on Time.
Have you noticed as well, as the band has acquired more of a reputation, you've ended up in the orbit of playing with people like Jackson Browne and Robbie Robertson, what do you learn from sort of getting behind someone like that?
Those dudes all really exude a passion still about what they do, and I think that's the most inspiring part about being around somebody that's been doing it for that long, is the fact that they've been doing it that long and are still in love with what they do. And it kind of shows you like what it takes to get to that point and what it takes to make it a career, create a body of work, you know, and still be inspired, still find ways to muse.
If these walls could talk, I'd defer to the furniture, the piano, the table, the bed that we both sleep in. Constant silent messengers. There's a story that's recorded in each fingerprint that these disregarded artifacts collect. Different boiled down these documented memories. I have a feeling we should know what to expect. You were right.
In putting the album together, was there a particular, I guess, preordained idea you had for how you would go about it? It sounds like a live record. It sounds like something that was recorded in the studio without too much overthinking.
Yeah, there wasn't. The lead vocals were done live with the band. The guitar solos were done live with the band. We weren't even a part of the editing process. Our producer, Dave Rawlings, who is incredible, he would kind of have us play the song five or six times. And after the first song, after playing it five or six times, we were like, okay, let's go listen now, figure out which one we like the most. And he said, you're welcome to do that, but I think it might be better if you don't. If you just keep playing, and rather than know how it sounds coming out of the speakers, you know, like when you hear your own voice on a voice message you left or something, and it makes you start talking different. It was that same line of thinking where he thought, you guys are sounding really good. If you go in there and hear it, it might change anything, and that would be unfortunate. So why don't you just keep rolling? So we went through seven or eight songs without listening to a note. And then finally he showed us an edited song where it wasn't edited in the sense of comping vocals or layering things. It was edited in the sense of the first half of this take is great and the second half of this take is great. So I'll just slash it in the middle and put them together. It was whole band editing. And then on top of that, committing to whatever sounds we got. Like I set up an old amp that I liked with a guitar that I liked, and that's the rig for the whole album. And that goes for all of us. We all figured out what we wanted to do and then and how we wanted to set up our instruments. And then it ended up being the whole record.
You did mention the guitar solos, which I do need to ask about, because there are some very old school guitar solos on the record, which I encourage and have no problem with at all. But does it require at this late stage in the rock and roll experiment a certain amount of nerve to just think, damn it, I'm doing a guitar solo here?
I mean, I think like with whatever it is that someone chooses to do, whether it's play jazz music or, you know, work in a field where it's kind of dicey or it's kind of risky in terms of how relevant it still is. I feel like what resonates with anybody is when you can tell someone's doing what they love. And for me, growing up and loving the way Ry Cooder and Jerry Garcia and Neil Young and Mark Knopfler and all these guys play guitar, that's something that I like doing. And I think that it's still possible. Maybe less and less, but I still think it's possible to be expressive on a guitar. At this stage, I do feel like it's more referential, whereas when you first heard Greg Allman for the first time or Jimi Hendrix for the first time, there was nothing that came before it, so they were these bars that were set for what other guitar players played like. Nowadays, when you hear someone play, it's like, oh, he, what kind of guitar player is he? And then you just list names. I still think it's possible to have an identity and have a voice where it's like, it's a little bit of that, it's a little bit of this, but it's also himself. Again, I don't know if we're achieving that necessarily, but I, for that being the goal, I think it's at least exciting for us.
The song's called Things Happen.
I could go on talking, or I could stop, bring out each memory till I get every drop. Sift through the details of the others involved. The true crime would be thinking it's just one person's fault. Like an honest signature on a fake ID. Like the guilty conscience with the innocent plea. You can just ignore it, put it out of mind, but ain't it funny how the past won't ever let something lie? Let's make a list of all the things the world has put you through. Let's raise a glass to all the people you're not speaking to. I don't know what else you wanted me to say to you. Things happen, that's all they ever do. In a different time, on a different floor, I might mourn the loss of who I am not anymore. So I'm driving up to Oakland for a good look back and a few revisions to my plan of attack. Let's make a list of all the things the world has put you through. Let's raise a glass to all the people you're not speaking to. I don't know what else he wanted me to say to you. Things happen, that's all they ever do. I think I'll see Lily, see where she stands. I can't help how I feel, I don't think anyone can. Sometimes we're lovers, sometimes we're friends. Behold the magnetism between two dead ends.
You've been listening to The Sessions at Midori House. Today's guests were Doors. Their new album, All Your Favourite Bands, is out now on Hub Records, and they're touring around North America and Australia this autumn. For more information, head to doorstheband.com, and that's Doors, D-A-W-E-S. This show was produced by Holly Fisher, mixed by Alex Funnell. I've been Andrew Muller. Thanks very much for tuning in.
We can qualify the spirit guides we listen. That's all they ever do. That's all they ever do. That's all.